It is Thursday the 7th of March, and this is episode 154 of Digital Outbox. Hello, I'm Chris. Welcome to another episode, and Ian's with me. Hello, Ian.
Good evening, Chris.
How are we this week?
Less moody today.
Yeah, I'm feeling quite chipper today, actually. And I think it might be because I'm back in the Android game, loving it.
So, before we kick on with any news, how has your Nexus 4 been?
Very, very good. It's like a different experience, and I'm very much
it works.
It works as a phone and as a smart device. No, really, it's like night and day almost. It's got hardware that can cope now with the latest software, and I think I must have been on at least one iteration back of the software, because this is brilliant. And Google Now, a complete revelation.
Yeah, and I use Google Now, and it's probably kind of limited because I've on the Nexus 7. It's not the 3G version, so it's not keeping up with location, etc. Unless I turn on Wi-Fi and all that nonsense. A lot of the time, I just use it as almost like a dumb, you know, unconnected tablet. I'll just use it for content, and even then it's still handy. But I know from the folk that I've got it and it's mobile, it's like, this is amazing.
It brings up cards based on what's in, you have to give it access to your life. So it brings up cards based on what you're searching for, what appointments you've got. You can even give it permission to look at emails and stuff like that, and it can tell you stuff straight away about an email you just received. It's bonkers. It's amazing. So if you searched online for a location and, you know, directions, it will come up on your phone and say, "Ooh, that'll take you 20 minutes with the current traffic."
Yep.
It's kind of frightening, but also kind of revolutionary. You can obviously talk to it and it understands everything you're saying. So you can ask it questions, just like, you know, Siri-based. I'm total eye-opener. You can tell by my state of mind that actually it's I'm pretty happy where I am now.
No, I don't. And as I'd said to you before about, you know, part of the reason I went for the Nexus 7 was just to get, you know, Google Now. I just wanted to try it because so many people were talking about it, and it is fantastic. I mean, I'll check it in the morning, it'll tell me how long it is to get to work. You know, you check it on the way home or about to go from work, and you'll be like, oh, there's a bit of traffic today. You get to the airport, or you even sit in the office and I've got my flights booked, and it'll be like, there you go, here's the takeoff time, and is there any delays? And it's like, this is really nice.
And it feels, I'd say the device feels solid. The hardware's, you know, I've got no complaints about it. I mean, the Wi-Fi is still a bit weak on it, I would say. But yeah, you know, good bit kit, and I'm very happy. And certainly happy with the price. So it shows what you can do for the money.
Yes. Good stuff. Good. That was almost your pick.
Yeah, there you go. But just totally different. Anyway, let's get the slippers on and the pipe out, and let's get on with the news. And we're going to start today with Microsoft, who've kind of dropped themselves in it. So basically, a little while back, they realized that they had left a line of code out of their operating system, Windows 7, when they went to Service Pack 1, that stopped the browser choice screen kicking up. Apparently, just one line of code they'd left out. Anyway, they kind of found out about this, and they sheepishly went to the European court and says, sorry, sir, we've been a bit naughty, and this hasn't been doing this since such and such a date. And it's taken European court a little while, and they've now heard the case, and they fined them €561 million. Euros.
Which is a big old sum of money for one line of code.
One line of code, and that's €37.40 for every single user that was affected.
And that's a bit I found incredible, because it's jaw-dropping. I mean, it's like, it's almost equivalent to, like, you know, the person that shares Beyonce's latest album and gets fined, you know, like, or taken to court for like $400,000, and you're like, well,
for loss of earnings. Yeah, right. Yeah. And unbelievable, yeah.
It's a fair old sum of money. And I still find it all a bit strange. You know, I really...
Whether they did it deliberately, I don't know. But that what Europe is... Well, first of all, they apparently could have been fined up to 10% of their revenue, which would have been considerably more, in the order of 5.9 billion. So actually, they've got away pretty lightly. And part of that was because of the cooperation that and the fact that Microsoft highlighted it to them and gave them full access and showed them what they were going to do to rectify the situation.
I mean, I know Microsoft have got a massive market share, but when I fire up my Mac, I got Safari.
Yeah, I know.
When I fire up my Mac, I get iTunes. I don't get, you know, Spotify popping up as an option.
And worse than that on, you know, on your iPhone is that it's baked in so heavily that you don't have the choice to even move away if you want to. Even if you install a new browser, it's actually just Safari with a different front end.
I think the only thing that saved them was Android. Because they were heading for a really big market share. And obviously Android's now got the big market share, but they're split over so many different platforms and you've got so much choice. You know, you've got your, you know, HTCs with the different front ends on it that there's no real, you can't turn around and say, the only people that seem to be worried about Android is China. China have concerns about Androids.
Too open. Yeah. So, I mean, basically, they did say that it was doing a lot of good when the choice screen came up. And we have seen things improving, which is great. The fact that it's not the dominance that it was. And we've seen Microsoft have to move on it as well because they've seen their share. They don't have to, they couldn't sit back anymore.
Yeah.
We have seen good. They did bad by not putting this line of code in. And it's a big fine. But like you say, it's more it's market share that caused them to have this, but it's surely the idea behind it is that we're supposed to have free choice and that should be free across all platforms, not just Microsoft platforms now.
Yeah, but why just a browser? That's the bit I don't get. So why aren't they doing it with the photo product, or why don't they do it with Windows Explorer? Why can't I get a, why does it not pop up some, I don't even know what
choice
alternatives.
I know what you mean, but the choice of every single different aspect. No, but no one wants that. That's the thing. And that's, you know, I think just browsers got big, didn't they? Evernote, they've been the latest firm to come forward and say, our data's gone as well, sorry. So they've been hacked and they have reset everybody's password. They emailed out everyone who's got an account.
And I thought they took quite good proactive action. I mean, Dropbox took a bit of a hit because it took, you know, 2-3 weeks to do investigations and look into it and respond properly to user concerns, whereas Evernote were like, okay, we've detected this on February 28th and 2 days later they'd done a password reset.
Yeah, but can you really do a full investigation in, you know, a couple of days? Sure, okay, they've reset the passwords, great, that's the first step, I guess. It is annoying for users though, and really you'd rather they just didn't get hacked in the first place.
The thing was, it was annoying for users, and the only mistake they made was they reset the passwords and then a few hours later sent emails. I think they really should have maybe done the email first and then done the reset.
Hard just one, isn't it? Well, just to let that many people know in
it's
in
not there was lots of people on Twitter saying I can't access Evernote because the email hadn't come through. Mm. You know, and they felt the service was down rather than being, you know, they're taking this action. But
it's the right way around. If you're going to get something wrong, that's the right way around to have it wrong.
As a paying customer, I preferred this to what, you know, Dropbox and Sony have done before.
Yeah, I just have no confidence that they can really do proper investigations on all these things anyway. How do they know that the money wasn't accessed, and how do they, that account? Why is it all these user tables that people are suddenly able to get hold of, but none of the other tables in the database, you know? Why is that? It just stinks of, it's just nice to be able to say, oh yeah, we think they got in here, but we know they didn't get in there.
I'll put my glasses half
baloney.
Full,
yeah,
okay. Hat on and say it's good design.
Yeah, okay, it's baloney.
One thing it has prompted them to do, they're going to bring forward two-factor authentication.
Good. I honestly think that that's what the direction that everything's going to end up in. I'm getting very used to having my phone with me, using authenticator on it.
Absolutely.
And I'm pretty comfortable and happy with that. There's been no occasion yet where I thought, oh, I can't do anything because I haven't got my phone or whatever.
No.
Because it's very rare that you don't have it with you somewhere.
No, and it works a treat for me. I don't see the big issue. It's a bit more painful, but I feel more content.
Yeah, and you can choose not to have it every single time. And even down to the, you know, some of them are offering you choices. If you're logging in a different location, then do it. But every other time, if I'm still at the same place, you know, rock on.
They have made it easier.
Yeah. Twitter, they've... TweetDeck, which they took control of, right?
TweetDeck is a UK company.
They've come along and said, we're going to shut down our desktop applications and our apps applications. And we're just going to go with web-based. And because that's where we believe you all want our latest features to appear. And they reckon they can do a better job. I think there's more to it than that, but basically, yeah, no more apps, but they are going to continue with their web-based development.
Yeah, and I mean, this week was the kind of the Twitter API swap over from 1.0 to 1.1, which sounds trivial, but we saw things like Echophone just stop working.
I think it's quite a fundamental change, even though it's only a point release. It's actually a fundamental underlying
change. Oh yeah, and it changes a lot of the rate access as well. You know, so there was some apps that were just no longer. No, there were some apps that were taking advantage of like 2,000, rate checks, per hour, and it's now dropped to 60, and they just can't do what they used to, how they used to work.
No, that's what I tell you, they can't mine it.
But unfortunately, when you go back to what Twitter said, go and make something different. Don't make a Twitter, a simple client similar to what our own clients do. And that's what some people have done, and the new APIs come in, and it's like, well, I can't do that anymore. And I've put it at the bottom. Twitter's free. It's their product. Their customer is the guys that have put all that money in.
Yeah. And we can't forget that it isn't our product. They're free to take their ball home if they don't want to play anymore. And they've got to make it viable. There's a money sinking away here. It's there's people.
I really don't agree with them. The web's the best place for Twitter, but I mean I.
I don't want to bleat on again, but yeah, it is the future. Whether it's the future now, I don't know. No.
Do you access Twitter on the web?
I only access it either via. In fact, I only access it via Tweetbot.
Yeah, and that's
everywhere else is just too annoying because the web doesn't have the my last point of access, so I can't choose if I want to go and look through all the rest of stuff.
So in a year's time, would you choose to they're on a path? And everybody's predicting the path is they will just shut down all the third-party clients so that you have to use
whatever the name of that where you're up to point that Tweetbot uses, if they put that into their products. I don't care where I'd access to it because most of the time it doesn't really bother
me. And none of the Twitter products have that.
No. So, but as soon as they do that, then I really don't care where I access it. And actually, web's fine for me on that front. Facebook making tweaks as well to the news feed. Take us through that.
You use Facebook, don't you?
Yeah, too much at the moment. I get moaned out for being on it constantly.
So, I use Facebook. I find it's got very messy for me. And I guess I use Twitter maybe how some people use Facebook. They like lots of products, like lots of, people like F1 or they like a movie or they like this or that. I'll follow it. And I'll do that on Twitter. I've never really done that on Facebook. I've tried to keep it like it is to people I know, and it's fairly kind of small, but it is getting more and more noisier, and the adverts are getting more and more, it's almost like the first or second post. They've announced today that...
It's almost like they've got shareholders now.
Yeah, they've announced today that they're trying to make it more visual, so really focusing on... they've always trotted out the stats around about how many photos, it's like a billion photos a day or something crazy like that getting uploaded. But they've always been a bit kind of small and crappy, but they're making them far, far more prominent now. But also they're tackling, and I guess just the amount of information they've got on there, and making it easier for you to filter and change your newsfeed to say, I just want to see friends only. And then swap over and say, now let me see music, or now let me see the brands I follow, or now let me see whatever. I think it sounds a really good move. Yeah. It does make sense. And looking at the screenshots, it looks very nice. And they've taken the mobile, the way that the kind of mobile apps have gone in both Android and iOS, and that's now what the desktop looks like.
Okay.
So it's a kind of more unified approach. When you go into Facebook, no matter what platform, it'll look and feel the same.
Well, that's certainly a good thing. They did say a while back that they had just jumped on the HTML5 bandwagon too soon, and maybe this is them stepping back from that and now being able to do the things they wanted to do because they weren't relying on technology, it wasn't quite ready.
And that might be true because certainly the iOS client before was awful, and when they actually went native,
it's still very frustrating, isn't it? It's
I don't find it frustrating. It's just been compared to a year ago. I mean, year ago it was awful. Mm. It was really awful, and now it's at least usable.
I still find all the platforms sometimes if you click on things it doesn't work. There's still prompts.
Definitely. And I guess it's just I don't know if it's just scale. So many users.
It's an impossibly large thing to even fathom out. I don't suppose anyone knows everything.
No, and the one thing it reminded me of Google+. Really easy to filter between the different kind of content types. And
we said at the time Google+ nailed it in many respects.
Yep. Just nobody uses it.
Well, I've added a few more people onto my Google Plus feed, and I would say now at least I look at it once a week.
It's
which is better than never, right?
But it's like app.net. It's like there's almost too many. When you can follow the same brands on any of these social networks now, yeah. But you only want to see that one article once.
Yeah. I mean, but you see it everywhere, don't you? That's the thing. Yeah.
I mean, nobody wants to go on Twitter, Facebook, and app.net and see the same thing, or Google Plus and see the same post from the same person.
Yeah, and it's like, I guess that's... I'm guilty of this as well, in that now I post my Twitter, all my Twitter goes to my Facebook account. And actually, that can be really annoying. I mean, from a user's point of view, it's great for me because it means that if people want to comment on a tweet, they can.
Yeah. Yeah.
And actually, I update more via my Twitter than I do Facebook, really, as far as just what I'm doing. So actually, in some respect, I'm not repeating it, but there are times when if you've just been on Facebook for a brand or whatever, and they're also automatically posted that on two other places, yeah, it can get a bit.
Generally, I've got a different group of people on Facebook.
Mm. So actually, you're not repeating. But yeah,
as in old friends that I don't want to talk to.
You're not supposed to say that out loud.
Really?
Yeah. Amazon been in the news quite heavily, and they basically had a lot of Amazon stuff that's sold on Amazon nowadays. They are just a marketplace, you know, like an eBay or whatever. But they sell products for other people, and one of the people that they were selling products for decided it was going to be a good idea to sell T-shirts glorifying rape and domestic violence.
Pretty much.
They said accidentally.
Solid gold bomb.
Mm.
And they blamed the computer. They blamed the computer dictionary for it.
Yeah, they said there was an automated script that was going through a dictionary and auto-generating hundreds of products, including these offensive ones.
I'm just glad they stopped it because it could have ended up... This could have been Skynet if it kept on going. You know, who knows what this computer could have done.
Yeah. So anyway, so basically it was pretty rude stuff. They got a lot of... flag for it. Obviously, all the big news channels picked up on it, and Amazon and this company pulled down the products. I mean, they're still not pulled them all down. Some of them are still pretty and ropey.
If you go and search hard enough, there's some really dodgy content. You know,
it comes down to the point that Amazon probably don't know all the products. In fact, they don't know all the products that are on their store.
Well, it's like eBay can't know everything. You know,
You know, as a merchant, I guess you sign up to the rules and regs about what you're supposed to post up there, but
yeah,
you know, that's up to them to keep to or not keep to.
And it's like Apple with their Google Sensor. It's like that was fine when there was only, you know, 10,000 apps, but when you got to like 500,000 and you have to keep up with all the updates, hence why there's now meme apps in the App Store.
Yeah, because they can't keep tabs on it. Yeah. So it just shows that, you know, and it, obviously they got a lot of slack because all the kind of tax and stuff, like, oh, you coming over here selling your junk and you don't even know what you're selling. And it's true, they don't.
But it was a UK company, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, yes, it was a UK company on the UK store.
Which closed its Facebook account and all its other social media accounts and basically everything, it disappeared.
They were getting death threats and all sorts. And, you know, whether it was an automated script or not, it doesn't really matter. You know, it was...
It didn't really add up. It's a bit like your cynicism. It's a bit like your cynicism with Evernote and all these companies, like, oh, no financial data.
Yeah, it was an automated thing of hundreds of thousands of words that we created random phrases. But that's why did it suddenly all come out with these violent ones? It's just, you know,
yeah,
stinks a bit. But, you know.
We started off in a good mood.
It's true.
And it's just descended. We should have finished with your pick, I'm telling you.
Yeah, should have done. Tugo is a new app made by Telefonica. And basically, if you're an O2 client, you can use this app on any device and use your own O2 minutes up. But basically, you can phone and text from any device. An interesting angle.
I've not heard anybody doing this.
No.
And it's one of the big players as well. You know, I thought Plucky 3, as we've now call them, might have come out with something like this, or, you know, one of the smaller ones.
Yeah.
But for somebody like O2 to bring this out, and seemingly it can be slightly buggy from time to time, but that's really good. I think it's a really good feature.
So it means you can take your account anywhere, so you're device agnostic effectively, which is, you know, sensible. I guess for carriers it means they offload a load of cool stuff from their... Well, if it gets used, that is, they offload a lot of cool data, which they can then move to other, you know, well, data.
Yes, and
so to speak.
Will we now see the rise of, you know, I could put this on my Nexus 7 and I could be phoning from my Nexus 7. Will we see the rise of the Dom Jolly tablet phones?
We want to see it. I think, you know, and means, I guess, that it could also work on desktop if you wanted to work on desktop. You could just...
Oh, absolutely.
It's a bit stinky that it does use up, you know, your carrier minutes, I guess. But then again, you know, you've got to pay someone to...
Well, there'll be no incentive to not to do it otherwise, would there?
No, not really. And there's always Skype as well. So whatever.
Really?
I think Skype's still good. In my mind.
I forgot about Skype once we moved to Google Hangouts.
Yeah, that's true. it's hard. Is it harder? I can't call my mum on Google Hangouts yet, though.
No, I saw the BBC guy complain yesterday about the kind of crappy experience of Google Hangouts. And it's like, hold on. You're a broadcaster that we pay billions of pounds to every year.
Yeah, it's great. Love it. Tesco's, they're branching out again, and they're going to launch Clubcard TV for all your Clubcard needs. basically, this is going to be a Blinkbox-powered video streaming service, but they're going down the advertising route. So this will be free to watch from their website, effectively, and they will have certain content, and that will be supplied with adverts which are targeted to you based on your club card spending.
And that's a big tie. Everybody, not everybody, I think everybody's smart enough to know now that a club card was all about, you know, making sure that we get your spending habits and we can target you better.
You wouldn't believe the data they collect your club card.
Yeah. And this is just another little set of data that they'll probably collect, because it'll be like, oh, you know, Mr. Smith is now watching that particular TV show and he obviously likes that genre and he eats all these foods and buys all this drink. And
yeah, no, absolutely. And they've got some content. Hard to say at the moment. I mean, if it's the content that's written down in our show notes, then it's going to be a very repeated set of films.
if we had that ding, 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 and so there would be Assassination of Jesse James.
Never seen it.
Shawshank Redemption. Ding, ding, ding.
Well, yeah, but I don't like that film like everyone else likes it.
Oh, we've all seen it 50 times.
I've seen it twice and I puked the second time pretty much.
Oh, so come on, you cynic. It would bring a tear to Gordon Brown's glass eye.
Sure.
The only way is Essex.
I never watched an episode in my life. Is that good? I think so.
No.
My TV's tragic, and I've never watched that.
Considering you love Dancing on Ice, which is probably another thing that I should admit to listeners, I just don't believe that you have not watched that.
I'm not. Okay.
Doc Martin and the Real Hustle. That was a highlight.
Okay, well, there you go.
So the Wire might be some years off.
Yeah. I think you might be right. But, you know, they've got advertisers signed up. So they've got Crunch Kellogg's. They've got Oily Johnson & Johnson, White & White Colgate. And they've got Danone. So anyway, there's people interested in advertising. But again, if they're the only people and they're the only shows that we've got, well, it's going to be pretty thin on the ground to start with, I think.
Music and ebooks coming this year as well.
Yeah, so anyway, and they're going to launch this Clubcard TV across different platforms, hopefully. That's their aim. And, you know, maybe it'll work. Lives or dies on the content, because you put it with adverts if the content's good, right?
Yeah, it's probably right. Horse didn't work, so maybe this will.
Sim City. Yeah, so basically, Sim City, much, much anticipated and awaited on
I can't wait to play this.
Yeah, no, it's good. Looks good. But unfortunately, published by EA, which is the downfall of many a good game. Basically, that this we talked about it already, that this is an always-on game. You have to be connected to the internet. You have to be connected to their DRM servers, and you have to be connected to their cloud servers in order to be able to play it, basically. And US launched two days ago now, and ever since they have been effectively crapped out. No one, the shortest queue I've heard is half an hour, a lot of people having to wait 3 hours to even start a game up, and that doesn't guarantee you getting onto the right server where your city lives. So even after a 3 hour wait, you might have to start a new game just because you can't get to where you want to go to.
It just seems like total fail that you pay, you know, £40, $60, whatever you want to.
More than that, every Origin server where they're £45, and apparently it took like 2 days to download.
But you pay that money, and then it says, go and wait in a queue. It's a bit like Real Racing last week, you know. So it's like, so Real Racing, really nice game. I want to race. You need to do an oil change. So you can either pay to do the oil change or wait 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then you see this horrible, and the only thing it's doing in the game is basically putting a timer on it to say, you will wait 5 minutes.
Mm.
And this was just down to it. We've seen this before with EA. When FIFA started coming out, and it was all you had to do the EA signing and all that nonsense. And the first 2 or 3 weeks used to be blighted with problems.
They always are.
This year's FIFA was a bit more successful.
Because probably not as many people bought it because it was so shit last
time. I'd love to agree. I'd love to sit there and say yes. But that's not true. But even we've seen Battlefield as well, you know, first day launch just.
Yeah, just. And it is the most frustrating thing because you build up to it, you know, and as gamers, you like the reason you go and buy it on the first day is because you're excited by it. And if you have to sit there and install 10 tons of crap onto your computer and then suddenly it doesn't work even when you've got all that done, you know, it's one waiting line after another. It just kills you.
And they've built up so much good buzz about this as well. And I guess the threat, I kind of saw it at the weekend, the amount of reviewers that were saying, well, EA, sorry, I won't come onto your nice quiet network to review the game.
Yes,
I want to review it on the internet with everybody else.
Yeah.
And a couple of people, early reviews, and they said it was fantastic. But I think...
They are based on the EA server because...
Yes.
When you, part of the game is that you rely on surrounding cities as well to supply you or to, you know, to... Because you haven't got a lot of space now, you know, in this latest SimCity. So... It's not the cities of old where you can just expand and expand and expand. You have to rely on other people to sort of do some of your services. And if they suddenly don't offer you that service that they have been doing for a while, or they suddenly need all the power that they're generating, you're left out in the cold and you haven't got anything to supply your city with and there's no space to do it. So it kind of, relies on this online thing and people can obviously ruin your game for that reason and there's always going to be trolls and dicks on there.
But the biggest dicks in this are EA. I just think it sums up with
they've
title.
Not helped it, yeah.
Which SimCity, more EA dickery. It's just...
Yeah. From the reviews I've been reading as well, they've said that there are other issues going on as well where, you know, just random bugs. So it sounds like a game where if you're sensible, you will wait for the first big patch release to come along. Because at the moment, the only patch releases they're doing is to reduce features to try and get the servers under control.
It's unbelievable. So they have said they're buying more servers and they're putting them online. And I'm surprised they've not launched a Kickstarter for it because that's what all these big companies now want to do. But they're now saying, well, let's switch off non-critical features like leaderboards, achievements, etc. And it's but some people are going to not want to play it at all.
So basically, we've got our release tomorrow, I think our release date is. So it was staged to try and keep Europe away from America. But they clearly aren't coping already. So
no, and then the Australasia servers went down as well. So it's not just a US only issue. It's I really had to see this trend for going all online. You know, you have to have a connection. And I know Sony made a big thing about the PS4. I was talking to a couple of guys at work. They were asking me, when's the new Xbox out? And it's like, oh, it's probably next year for us. You know, same with the PS4. I can't see Europe, you know, getting it this year. But they've made a big play that, you know, you don't have to be always online. I said, I can see Microsoft being the ones that say, actually, you will have to be online, which for most of us probably is not a big issue. But if you're just playing single player games all the time,
I would say we're not the right people to ask on that front. We don't just have a little, you know, arcade sat underneath that's, you know, wanting to just to play the greatest game.
Yeah, well, one of the guys was like, oh, if that's the case, I might just go Sony.
Yeah.
But he seemed to have an impression that Sony was rubbish. He was like, but Sony make the worst consoles, don't they? And I was like, no, you need to
look at your history a bit.
Yeah.
You know, but it shows how quickly things change, you know, from that immovable
empire.
It just takes one
Xbox EA
nailed it. And if they get one feature wrong, they could fall, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And EA, the thing is, they own so much now. They own so many big titles that they won't fail, but.
Again, I would never say never at the moment, but yeah, they've got an awful lot of money and they've got a lot of repeated business coming in. That is the end of our news. We haven't got any picks for you today, so we're going to actually end on time, which is amazing. Not that we have a time. The undisclosed time, but we're ending on it. And as ever, you can find out more about us at digitaloutbox.com and email us or on info@digitaloutbox.com. Twitter and Skype, we're as Digital Outbox. You can find out more about me and my racing antics if you so wish at academyracer.co.uk, and I'm on CheesyUK on Twitter. Ian, where can we find you?
Bloggersiand.net, and I hope everybody tried Bombermine. And if not, fire up the blog and you'll see it in my full screen resolution glory. God, I love it. and Twitter, Sweeper.
Perfect. So that is it. We will talk at you again next week. We will see you then. Speak to you then. Bye.
Goodbye. Oh, crap. Can't record this and put it on the end.
They'll never listen.
I'm going to have to cut that out. What a knob.